The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp,
and Tamara Judge.
And before we even get started, we have to give a special shout out to Wynn Las Vegas, because not only is John Mellencamp playing tonight, coming up, there's Jay Leno, Brad Paisley, John Mulaney, Ali Wong. Like, this place is popping off.
It is off the top.
And even looking outside right now where we are, we're doing the podcast, it's
insane. At the Wynn.
Yeah, at the Wynn. It's one of the biggest picture I've ever seen of myself.
I've never felt so famous in my entire life.
But I mean, it's not saying much for us because, you know.
Fuck a duck.
But fuck here we duck. Are. Now it's going to be an explicit podcast. But in more exciting news, we have a very special guest.
Very special to my heart, because I've had an up and down friendship with her.
But I'm going to say this.
What are you going to say?
I know. Just don't try to, you know, fix the situation.
No, I'm going to fix the situation.
But when Tamara first started the podcast, she had one Real Housewives of Orange County that she was not a fan of. And I was.
But let me back this bitch up. Did I not watch this particular housewife and say, kind of fucking like her?
She did a change by the end of last season.
As a viewer, I watched her and said, she's a star. She's a star.
But when we started, we went through a whole season.
I feel like I even sent a message to Andy Cohen and I said, oh my God, she's amazing. She's doing a great job.
Even more than the Andy Cohen thing was she sent a message to me and apologized and said, Teddy, you were right.
Yeah, I did.
Emily Simpson. And that is who is joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
I love you and I love Vegas. So that was a no-brainer.
Okay. Do you love Vegas more than you love me?
I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, well, there's the honest. Yep.
Well, while we're even talking about love, I feel like we just need to dig right into it, because I do remember when we started and you had your issues with Emily.
Yeah.
What were the issues?
Okay. Just let me speak for a second.
Hold on. Let Emily speak first.
No, let me speak first. Okay.
Are you two going to argue the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much. So when I met Emily, it was way before she was on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
She was an amazing party planner. She did the party planning for...
I did the baby shower.
Yeah, you did the baby shower for Sarah.
Who's Sarah?
Sarah is the baby mama. The baby mama for Ryan, my oldest son.
Okay.
And now Ava's 8 years old. She did an amazing job. And I met her. That's how I met you, right?
Yeah.
She did an amazing job. We filmed. Did it air?
Yeah.
It did air, right?
A little. Like, it showed a little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you do that because you wanted to be on the show? Because
no.
Okay.
I did it because my sister-in-law and I started a party planning business and we wanted exposure
for the business.
So we reached out. And when Tamara said, oh, I'm throwing this party, we were like, amazing, because now we get to do it for our housewife. We get to be filmed. So for me, it was for business purposes. It wasn't.
But did you ever think in 1,000 years that
never?
Yeah,
no. But when Tamara and I first met, I think we had a lot in common because we clicked immediately, and we had so much in common talking about like ex-wives and kids and
yeah,
everything. I found her like really, really easy to talk to. And then when I ended up on the show and we filmed together, I don't know exactly what happened. But
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So whether we want to know or not, she'll tell us.
I'm going to tell you because Stephanie called me. Stephanie was our executive producer at the time. And she said, I want to tell you that Emily Simpson is going to be the new housewife. And I want to run it by you first and just let you know. And I said, oh, okay. And then she went on to say, like, she said that there was some problem with your friendship and you guys stopped talking and da, da, da. And I said, to be honest with you, I always thought that she was a cool chick. Mm-hmm. She was always a cool chick. However, she was friends with people that didn't like me. Mm-hmm. And that's where it got, like, it was a gray area for me. Does she like me? Does she not like me? Like,
and did you like her from the beginning?
I liked her before we were on the show together. And then when we were on the show together, I didn't like her.
Well, tell me why.
I want to be honest about everything I'm saying. I think also my perspective of her was clouded because I had a lot of people telling me to stay away from her, that she wasn't a good person, that
people
she was
from the show.
Well, just
fired people from the show.
Yeah. Like ex people. And so I think the mistake I made going into the show was thinking that I needed to stay away from her. And so I did. And then
she felt that. And then she feels that, it.
And then
the producers came to me and said, like, Emily knows that you have friends that you don't, she has friends that you don't like. And she just wanted you to know that those friends have, you know, made her understand why. Like, she understands. Like, she doesn't agree with her the friends that are saying these bad things. And I don't want to bring attention to the friends.
But I think the problem also was that that Tamara and I didn't have an established enough of a friendship to be able to work through it.
We had outside.
Yeah, there were too many outside sources that I think made her have a certain perception of me and me have a certain perception of her.
So I went into it when Emily started filming is like, she doesn't like me. She doesn't like me. She's going to find every reason to hate me.
So you went in on the defense. And then how did you go in? Trying to get her or just like?
No, because I don't have that kind. I don't think I have that kind of personality where I try to get people. I think my personality with her was to avoid her and to just like not engage and to kind of back off and to stay away. And so, I mean, I regret, you know, like the same hindsight's 2020.
I mean,
like looking back on it, I wish I handled it differently, but I didn't. And also when you're on your first year, you don't know what to
do. You don't know.
You don't know what to do. You don't know.
And I don't blame Emily.
Who your friend is. You don't know who you can trust, who you can't trust. You don't know what's going on. And so it was just a really complicated situation for me.
It was. And you know, the roles were reversed. I might have felt the same way. I might have felt like, oh my God, these are my friends. They're warning me about this girl. And the truth of the matter is like, if you're a good person, I like you. If you're an asshole, I don't like you.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we can all be assholes. That's why we have like a common.
Yeah. And the first two seasons I was on, I feel like I was just on the defense the whole time. I was like, what's going to come at me? I got nervous every time we went into any type of group filming. I was like, what the fuck is somebody going to say? What are they going to accuse me of? What are they going to say Shane did? I was constantly on the defensive. But once Tamara was gone, I wasn't on the defensive anymore. There was no reason to be on the defensive because there wasn't anybody leading the show. So when I went into that third season, I was like, holy shit, like I have a whole new level of respect for her because I realized that what she was doing.
Did I cripple you?
Cripple me? What do you mean?
Like I made you come into the show going, shit.
No, I think me coming on the show the season I came on.
Was it a you thing or a me thing?
Well, it was probably both of us. But I think that cast was a really hard cast to come onto as a new. It was you and Vicky and Kelly and Shannon.
Would you not agree that the cast we're on right now is a good cast?
I think the cast now is a great cast.
Yeah.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. We're going to have to ask these following things. One, if you could lose one cast member from next season, who would it be?
I hate when I get these fucking questions.
Well, I'm sorry, but one of us has got to do it. You two could go back and forth about how y'all met for decades.
I'm going to let Tamara, she can go first.
Both you guys have to pick. It can be a friend of, or it could be a full-time. I'm not discriminant.
I'm going to plead the fifth because I feel like everybody on the show is good. I'm just going to say it's not Emily.
It's not Emily.
It's not Emily.
Okay. Do you think, then who do you think it is? You can give us another hint and I'll guess it.
Well, I honestly think the cast is really strong because I think you have six full-time women that are all so different with each other that it makes for a good cast.
Are we going to be excited to see Taylor?
I think there's a lot of anticipation around Taylor, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't really film with her that much.
I gotta be honest.
I watched her
on Girls Trip, and I was underwhelmed.
I feel like she didn't really film that much with us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, as an individual, she didn't film that much. As a group, she was very involved in it.
Okay, so were you guys surprised that Noella wasn't asked back?
No.
Not even for a second. Do you think it was too?
Look, here's my take on it. When you come in on your first season and you think you are the star of the show, and
so do you think that's what she was doing, or you think she was trying to make
money? 1,000%
absolutely.
As a viewer.
Look, here's my thing. First of all, there's no star on the show. We've had this conversation before. The show Orange County is the star, and you're just hoping you get good people on a show that is already a
star. And I agree with Emily on that.
And when you come in your first season and all you do is talk about how you're the star of the show and you're the most interesting and everything revolves around you, there's nowhere to go from there.
Right.
There's nowhere to go.
I agree.
And no one wants to be your friend. And if no one wants to be your friend, you have no connections with the rest of the cast.
And then who do you think had the bigger comeback? Do you think it's going to be, it was Heather Dubrow opening to The View, or whatever the hell Tamara's going to be doing coming in this season?
If I had to pick which one would be bigger or more epic, I do think Tamara coming back, but that's because Tamara, I think, is a staple in Orange County.
I think
Heather's good, but I wouldn't say she was a staple on the show. She was on 5 years and then she took a break and then she's come back for the past two. But I think when you think about Orange County, I think you think Vicky and I think you think Tamara.
I do feel like Heather has she has her spot on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Heather,
that wasn't a dig at Heather. It was just,
I honestly agree with you.
Yeah.
I feel like Heather had her time on the show. She was on for 5 seasons. Then she was off for 5 seasons. And then they brought her back. I feel like the lead up to her coming up back to the show was too much for the fans to even grasp.
Well, then my question goes, because your bestie was quite close with Heather.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt like that entire friendship was a fraud.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think Gina does. I don't think she does things that are.
But why was she treating Gina like a pet?
Well, give me an example.
Like, come over and you can try out my QVC line, and then I'm going to put you in these outfits, and then I'm going to send you out with it, and then let's wear these matching champagne shirts. And
I gotta agree with that.
It was uncomfortable for
me.
Was
it? I don't know.
It was.
She introduced her like it was her little sister. And here's the thing: I came in and I was younger than everybody else, and I was in a different place. But I do remember the one scene that I went shopping at Kyle's store. Everybody's like, Teddy, oh my God. I can't believe it. And I was like, truthfully, I can't afford nice clothes to wear to Vegas. So like, I'm so excited that I get my $250 credit at a lean-to by Kyle. But
you know what the thing is like, I really...
Hold on, you got to let Emily speak.
I know, but the thing is like, I really love Gina. Like, I love Gina. She leans into who she is and what she doesn't have and whatever the scene is. I understand what you're saying. Like, Heather came in and it's like, come on, Gina.
Do you think that Heather did it just to make her have a friend?
So that Heather could have a friend?
Yeah.
Well, I think Heather always needs an ally. I mean, I think that she's very smart, and I think that she knows that she always needs an ally. I think she knows that it's the worst thing to be on an island by yourself. So I think that she does work hard to make sure that she has
Heather's
an ally.
Smart.
Yeah. I mean, she's smart. She's very smart.
I think, how good of a friendship can it be if you're trying to change the person that you're friends with? It's one thing if you're doing it in a beneficial way. I felt, and I said this to Heather when she approached me in the airport that time.
Yeah.
I just said, I think there's something about you that has like a little bit of like one upperness. And I felt that when it came to Gina.
Yeah.
And,
but don't you feel like that's just Heather in general? Because I don't even know.
Yes,
I don't know if it pertains to just Gina.
I will say Gina is a hard worker. She shows up to work. She gives it her all. Mm-hmm. Emily's a hard worker. Shannon's a hard worker. Like, we know the assignment and we do it and we're good at it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to switch gears for a second. A lot of fan questions were about any work that you potentially had done. We're open books. Like, I'm like, I had a neck lift. I've had my tits done.
I'm always open. I don't ever lie about that stuff. I mean, I've had everything done. I always say, first of all, let me just preface this by saying I'm 47 years old.
And you look freaking hot.
And I'm getting close to 50. So
not that close.
But
bitch.
I mean, it's close. Like,
but
I mean,
you
before
still
we
look amazing.
Thank you. But before we know it, we're going to be celebrating my 50th birthday.
And I can't wait.
So with that being said, I feel like I lead a healthy lifestyle. I try to eat as best as I can. I still enjoy cupcakes and champagne. Like, I'm not going to.
And that's what I love about
Hold
you.
On. Yeah. Why we're on that. The whole scene last season when you were eating the sub.
Yeah.
Was that a shtick?
No, I thought we were done filming because we filmed at that sauna, that perspire, and you sit in that sauna and it's freaking hot. And I had a turkey sandwich in my purse and I was waiting to eat it. And
they said, do you know that's what we love about you?
Yeah. And they said, we're winding down. We're going to stop filming. And I was like, oh, okay,
we're
good.
Doing wides.
Doing wides. They're like shutting the cameras down. So I pulled out the sandwich because I was starving because I filmed something before we filmed the perspire bit.
Yeah.
So I was shoving that turkey sandwich in because I was so hungry.
In between filming, you went and got the sandwich.
Yes.
And okay.
Yeah.
That's what, in my mind, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly.
Next question. We can all answer this. The rudest Bravo Leb you came across at BravoCon and the nicest.
The rude. I honestly didn't come across any rude.
I didn't either. And I would say if I did, but everybody was so nice. And actually, when people know who I am, it like kind of freaks me out because I don't consider myself like a celebrity by any stretch of the imagination at all. So when people recognize me and say like, oh my gosh, Emily, it kind of freaks me out.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was it your dying desire to be on Housewives?
No.
No. So it was never like, because there's been like, oh my God, she's tried out for multiple years.
No, I only tried out the one time before I was cast. One time.
So
when, who got it instead of you?
It was the season that Kelly came on.
Oh, okay. Can we talk a little bit about one of your biggest regrets on the show or the biggest heats that you got? Because I wasn't a huge Orange County watcher until after I became on the show and started watching.
Because you got hated?
No, I was. I'm hated. I breathe and I get hated.
No, you're not hated.
My question is,
you're loved. You're loved.
You're really making me feel it today, Tam.
I'm loving you. I love you.
But my question is, you said something. I don't know. Was it your first or second season?
Are you talking about the first season?
The kill thing?
Yeah, the kill thing.
Oh, yeah. That was at my house.
That was at Head Tamers.
Were you under the influence?
Of course.
Well, not a lot, though, because my first two seasons, I didn't drink very much at all. I feel like I was totally different my first two seasons because I was dealing with a lot of things my first two seasons.
But what were you dealing with?
My first two seasons were very, very difficult for me. There were several times where I flat out said to Shane, I'm not doing this anymore. This isn't my thing.
Why?
Because first of all, I was physically not great.
Pain.
I was in pain.
And when you're in your hip.
Yes. And when you're in chronic pain, it is very difficult to function. So that was one thing. Also, Shane, he's probably going to get mad at me, but he had a hard time dealing with his ex-wife and custody and kids.
Yeah.
And so he...
I've went through that, and so I get it.
So you understand.
Yeah.
But he was very, very concerned about anything I said, did, drank, cussed.
He wanted you to be perfect.
He wanted you to be perfect. Yeah.
He didn't want me to be a liability so that someone...
He didn't want her to... Whatever to she get said more custody, to bring up to the
He
custody.
Didn't want it to be an issue where his ex could be like, this show isn't good.
But at the end of the day...
Yeah.
You have the kids.
Yeah. Now.
But,
yeah.
But then, now we have to go into Shane, because what season was Shane's hard season?
The first two.
But there was one where he really got a lot of shit. I feel like it was season three, maybe?
No, season three, I think.
When did you do the dancing? You did
that. That was season two.
Okay, so season two is his worst.
Yeah. Season one, I think people thought he was a dick. And then season two, I think they were confirmed that he was a dick.
I've always, Emily.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
I've always been a Shane, I love him.
Yeah.
I love the way he thinks. I love him as a father. Yeah. I love him as a husband.
Yeah. He's solid.
I'm the person solid. That's like, I'm agreeing with the person that is like solid.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's always been a good dad.
Always.
He's been a good husband.
Always. Yeah.
Like he's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm glad he made a comeback, because I feel like all the shit he got his first two seasons were because, if you want to know the crux of it, it's because Shane gives zero fucks about being famous or being on TV.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. And that's how my husband is.
Zero.
So I totally related to what Shane is feeling.
So he didn't rise to the occasion. He didn't say what he thought he should say. He didn't act the way he thought he should. He just said whatever the fuck he thought.
He wasn't politically correct.
He didn't care.
He didn't care.
No.
But
he still doesn't.
Yeah. And the thing is like, even when you and I had issues, I've always been a big supporter of Shane.
And I appreciate that.
And I just feel like he's a good dad.
He is.
And in today's world, you have to give credit for somebody that's like a good dad.
And that was his problem with the show the first two seasons, was he didn't want it to affect our marriage.
Well, they tried to fuck with him.
Yeah, he didn't want it to affect his children. So he was not a fan
of
the show.
And he's got two daughters from another marriage, and they're amazing
and
girls.
And an ex-wife and custody issues. And
you guys have three kids together.
How did you take it when people kind of came at him because they were saying you were working and he was taking care of the kid?
Oh, that fucking pisses me off.
Well, first of all, let's just set the record straight. Shane is a good provider. Shane has money. He's always going to have money.
He came from money.
He came from money. Yeah. He has money. He's always going to be the main provider in our family. Always. And when it looked like I was working, but he wasn't,
but
that's
he's
because
just a good guy.
He is. And he was studying for the bar, and he was trying to take the bar. And first of all, let's give credit to someone who took the bar that many times with millions of people scrutinizing him.
Yeah.
And he still did it.
Publicly.
Publicly.
Yeah.
And he still did it. And
I probably would never do it publicly.
Yeah. And now he works at a firm, and he works in Long Beach, and he goes to work every
regardless
day.
Regardless of what he does today. Like, I've been the biggest Shane supporter ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Maybe it's the dry sense of humor that I have with Shane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never looked down. I've always looked up to Shane.
But Shane's parents are not LDS, but he is, correct?
Yes.
How do you guys feel about Salt Lake City?
You know, I've had people ask me that before. Like, what do you think about Heather? What do you think about her book and things like that? Here's my response. Two people can go to a movie and watch a movie, and one person can say that was the most amazing movie I've ever seen, and another person can say that was the shittiest movie I've ever seen. So to me, it's just two different experiences. Yeah. Shane's LDS. He's very committed to it. We've never had an issue in our family.
Does he ever judge you? Because I can say this. I have a lot of LDS people that work with me, and we have a mutual understanding. But like, there are certain rules that, like, to me, I wouldn't even think about, like, no coffee.
Yeah, no, I drink. I'm drinking alcohol right now. We're in Vegas.
Would you ever consider being?
No, and that forever? No, and that was one of the deal breakers.
But why would you not? I mean, your husband is LDS. Your kids
because
are.
Because it's not a lifestyle she
I'm
wants.
Not very religious.
Why?
Because I'm not very religious in general. I believe in the religion of karma.
Do you believe in God?
I do. And I believe in, like, a higher power. And I believe.
So what about the LDS relate?
Because me personally, I wouldn't probably join any formal religion.
Does it cause a problem in your relationship?
No, it doesn't.
We all went to lunch and we all had drinks. He didn't seem to mind.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
No. But my husband didn't drink either.
He had one drink. I watched it.
Oh.
No, Shane will buy me drinks and bring them to me. Yeah. And, like, he doesn't care. It's not an issue.
But did you end up having your daughter become LDS?
I gave her the option.
Annabelle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what about the twins?
I asked
them.
They're
too young.
No, they're 8 now, so they can be baptized. And I asked them. I said, do you want to be baptized? And one said yes and one said no. So I'll go with.
So what would change if you said, I want to be LDS? What would change?
You know,
besides the drinking.
Well, see, I don't know. I would still drink coffee and still drink alcohol. So that's why I couldn't commit to it because I can't change.
Can I say to you, like, how amazing that you're with a man that's so loving to your kids?
Yeah.
That accepts you for who you are.
Yeah.
And is like, if you don't want to be LDS, that's okay. Yeah.
But he also wasn't born LDS, correct?
No,
there's a difference between
But I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If my husband wanted me to convert to a religion, I probably would look into it. That's just me.
I mean, I go to church with Shane, and there are moments.
I didn't know that.
Just not on the doctrine, or is that what it's called?
I don't know. I'm just not a member. I haven't been baptized into the church. So
I grew up with friends that were very into the Mormon religion.
Yeah.
And I actually went to church. Mm-hmm. As a teen.
Mm-hmm. That's how he became LDS.
I thought he became LDS from the first wife. Am I wrong here?
No, that's wrong. He became LDS because when he was growing up, his neighbors in Laguna Niguel, where we live, were LDS. And he spent a lot of time with the kids.
And it made him feel safe.
And he went to church with them. They were all in his age group.
So have you ever seen him have an alcoholic beverage?
Never. He's never had a drop of alcohol.
Oh,
ever.
My gosh. This is amazing. Did you have sex before you got married?
No.
But what?
No, but that's why we got married so quickly. That's why we didn't date.
Why did you get married and how did you get proposed to? Because there's a lot of misconceptions of you got a text message that you want to get married.
He says I sent a message to him and I asked him to marry him. I think he messaged me and asked
how long have you been married?
Either way, who gets engaged via text?
We did.
When did that happen? Give this time frame.
Well, we worked together for 3 years and we were friends. But when he and his first wife got divorced, then things started to become a little more flirtatious.
And this is Utah.
Yes.
Utah.
No, this is in California. This is not in Utah. We didn't move to Utah until after we were married.
So you were in California. You were working for him?
Not for him, with him.
With him.
I worked for a firm. We worked at the same firm together.
Okay. You were divorced. He was still married.
Yeah.
You guys were working together.
Yes, we were friends.
Tell us what
happened. Do you think he was always in love with you?
Well, why wouldn't he be?
Probably. I mean,
got a hot ass.
Hello.
Yeah. So you guys were working together.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Then he and his ex-wife got divorced.
Yeah.
His ex-wife took the kids and moved to Utah. Instead of having his ex-wife move back to Orange County, he was a nice guy and he quit his job and he moved to Utah. And I was working in family law, so I knew a lot about family law. So I would help him a lot with his divorce and stuff and just give him advice and things.
Yeah.
And then when his divorce was final, he was like, hey, do you want to go to Vegas? And we went to Vegas.
Oh, here we are today.
Sorry, yes. I have to interrupt this. Please look to the...
Is it Shane?
That is my grandpa right there. He is...
Your grandpa?
99. How old is he? Ask him right now. 91 years old.
This is your dad's dad?
My dad's dad.
Stop
92
it.
92 in July.
I can't see
He
that.
Just came. He looks exactly like my dad. He can't hear me. He can't hear anybody ever.
Oh my God. That is so amazing.
But so they just said, hey, look to your left. And yeah. So we're all the same human, but I love him so much. He sends me weekly quotes. Next question is, this is a fan question. You and Gina tend to stick together no matter what. What do you say to criticism about that? I know what it's like because people always said that about me and Kyle. Mm-hmm. And always my kind of defense was like, listen, if somebody's my best friend, I'm going to do everything I can to be there for them. If they're being an asshole to me, I will stand up for myself.
Yeah. And that's my same response with Gina. I mean, Gina and I have been on this together for 5 years. Like,
well, you started together.
We started together and it's been 5 years and we are very close.
And you like the new boyfriend?
I do. I think he's a great guy.
I think
he's great for her.
I do. I think he's great.
He's great. And they're going to end up getting married. I hope I get to plan the wedding. And
so are you still event planning?
No, not really. But I can
You're
do
it.
But I would do it because I'm good at it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to do a rapid fire. Okay. The first word that comes to your mind, one word only, and I'm going to say the names. You're going to yell them out. Okay. Heather.
Controlled.
No, not you, Tamara.
I mean, why not me?
Money.
Okay. Tamara.
Asshole.
Bitchy.
Gina.
Love.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I love Gina. I do.
Tamara, you're bitchy and Heather's money and you're... Yeah. Okay.
Really?
Shannon.
Neurotic.
Vicky.
Queen Victoria. I don't know. I just get like this...
Queen. Yeah.
Taylor.
Messy.
The new housewife, Jen.
Enigma? Like, I don't know.
That's a big word for us over here, over at the twats.
No,
we're going to need more information.
I think that's a good word.
Is that, like, didn't...
Confusion.
Didn't Eric and Jane have a, like...
Confusion.
I'm an enigma wrapped in
Let me ask you, Teddy, what does enigma mean?
I think an enigma is a facade of something else, right? Like, it's...
Perfect.
Your riddle, like, of whatever it is that you're creating.
Well, you know, honestly, I don't know how much I can say, but I'm still trying to figure her out. And I'm confused. Yeah. I'm still confused.
Yeah.
Okay. I just need to know. Did you see Tamara's tits this season?
I did, yeah.
And I saw Emily's tits as well.
I mean, she probably saw more than just my tits, though.
I just saw your tits.
Mary fuck kill. Terry DeBrow. Jen's boyfriend from the gym in the True Religions, and with the dog, and John Shannon's ex-boyfriend.
Marry, fuck, kill.
Okay. I'm totally marrying Terry DeBrow.
I'm gonna marry Terry DeBrow.
Are you gonna have sex multiple times a week?
No, I don't want to fuck him, but I'll marry him.
I'm gonna marry him.
And then
I'm gonna.
Who are the other two?
Whatever the guy's name. Whatever Jen's husband or boyfriend.
Ryan. And what was the other one?
Shannon Bedore's John.
Okay, I have to kill John, but then
I don't really want to fuck.
I don't want to fuck Ryan.
No.
But
you're going to have to pick.
I'm going to
go with fuck Ryan and kill John.
Yeah, I'm going to agree.
I'm sorry. I have a real problem with men who wear jeans when there's distressed.
I do too.
I can't do a distressed jean.
It's not pretty.
Speaking of John, I guess let's go into Shannon real quick.
Oh my God.
Does she give any parts? Like, did you know? I mean, I personally felt like I knew pregnant at BravoCon, there were holes in that relationship.
Yeah. I will say, I stopped talking to Shannon for 2 years. And prior to the 2 years that we did not talk, I felt like the relationship was not well. Right?
Yeah.
You continue to film with her.
Right.
And it's going to play out in this season.
But do you think he solely did it to be on television?
Yeah.
No, you do?
I asked Emily.
You know, I don't know if he solely was in a relationship with her for TV, but I do think that he loved the limelight. And, you know, she used to always call him a private person and say that like he's a private person.
You're not a private person when you're on a TV show.
But he's not interested in being in the limelight. But every time you saw like he was always on Watch What Happens Live with
her. He's an asshole.
He was traveling with her everywhere. He was filming with her all the time. And I was like, okay, Mr. Private Person is clearly not a private person. Like, I think he's enjoying the spotlight.
Okay. So do you think that Shannon throughout the season is trying to cover up that the entire time? Like, are we going to see a Scandoval, but with Shannon? And
well, I don't think it's at the level of Scandoval, but I think that Shannon works very hard to, but I also have to think, I think you have to think about the intent of why she's doing what she's doing. And it goes down, it goes back to him not being a good guy and not letting her be herself. I think he was very controlling.
Would you rather hook up with, is his name John? Why can't I remember it? John or David Bedore?
I would rather fuck David Bedore than John.
Guys are saying that is making me feel unwell inside.
But see, here's the thing though. You know he was not invested in the relationship and you know he wanted to back out of the relationship, but he waits until we're done filming.
Of course he did. He's Steve Lodge Jr.
Well, he wasn't into it.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't into it.
No.
I wouldn't have even had them on. Like, even, I'm not trying to be rude to my husband. There was a time where he would film and he was so checked out during filming. I was like, fuck you then. I'm not having you film with me anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, Shane used to take his mic off and leave.
Yeah. Oh, so did Eddie.
Yeah.
No, Eddie would be like, I'm not interested in hearing about this story, and then walk away. And then I'd be like, now we're in a new fight.
Yeah. That's why we are in the situation we're in right now.
No, Shane would, they would mic him and then they would tell him to wait to enter the scene and he would take his mic off, get in his car and leave.
That's why because Eddie, you guys have to keep Shane in mind, get along so well.
But guys, this is what we have to keep in mind. They are not being paid. So any man that is there 100% on and popping 24/7.
They want something out of it.
They want something out of it. Like Edwin would look at me and be like, really?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Like, oh yes, yeah. I really want to go and talk about Denise
more. If you're married to a man that wants to talk about it more than you want to talk about
and
it.
And talk about your girl drama. Are you kidding me? Like when I complain about you every Tuesday and Thursday, it's not to Edwin.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I never thought I'd take my 3 young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh, All right, really quickly, as we close up, we have to finish this, but people are wanting specifics on the work you've had done. You had a lower facelift, same as me?
I had a lower facelift. That's the only thing I've done to my face is a lower facelift.
Okay.
Just recently, a couple months ago, I did have lipo in my arms.
Well, can you tell us who your doctor is?
It's Dr. Aga. He's done all my surgeries. He removed my breast implants. He did my lift.
So you have no breast.
Yeah.
I have no implants. This is all real boob.
Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Because I did the same thing. Yeah. I had my breast implants removed and I'm all natural.
Yeah.
Teddy, you saw me naked recently.
You looked hot.
Are you okay with my boobs? Do you think I need bigger?
No, I think they're perfect sized.
Yeah.
But they're mine.
They're
yours. This is all mine.
Yeah.
I would have two mosquito bites if I took out my fake boobs.
Yeah.
Just two little bites. They would just sit there.
But you look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to wrap this episode and then we are bringing on Edwin, Eddie, and Shane.
And Shane's going to come kicking and screaming. I don't think that he is.
He has no idea.
Be giving him some sugar-free Red Bulls to get him all juiced up.
I love Shane.
Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in. And I cannot wait until the Real Housewives of Orange County starts airing again.
And thank you so much, Emily, for being here today and being open and honest.
I loved it.
Being amazing, the person that you are.
Thank you.
Hold on real quick. Let's check in with Dad because I need to know if we're going to sing tonight. Dad, you didn't answer my phone call.
Who is this?
It's your favorite daughter, Teddy, and I'm with your father, Richard, at the podcast right now.
What podcast?
Dad, I already saw you walking by and take a picture, and I saw your security guard cruise by.
I have news for you. I don't know how you got my number.
Well, the thing I'm calling about is that Emily and Tamara, who the only reason they're letting me speak right now is because they're in the bathroom, is we want to know if we can sing on Jack and Diane on the chorus. Because we have, I mean, when I tell you this lobby is blowing up with fans, I see at least seven people out here.
Seven.
Woo! Are we going to be singing or are we going to just be hanging in the background?
Weren't you on the side of the stage the other night?
Yes.
In Los Angeles. Okay, well, that's about as close to singing.
No, Dad.
Yes.
Okay, tell me one thing. Favorite thing about Vegas?
Leaving.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I love you, Dad. I look forward to being on stage with you later.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.